Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and it is one of my favorite ones, the ones I look forward to the entire month. It's the tie special. But before we get into it, Stone, we had a busy day yesterday at Startup Riot.
We did.
You had a good time?
I had a blast, man. And I had a good, was it a caboose burger?
That's right. You got to explore the restaurant there.
But I'm thinking seriously about finding a way to write a check for the for that golf app.
Yeah.
The God of Golf
See, I think they did well in the when they had the final winners.
Yeah, I would think so. And I don't even play golf. I just love the concept. But we had a blast, and we just thank the world of Sanjay and his team and all the great work that they're doing out there. But I don't think it's going to compare to what we're doing here this morning, man.
No, this is the real deal here.
No, we've got quite the crowd in the studio this morning, and we have some new talent. And I've been doing these Thai specials well enough, long enough. This is not my first rodeo. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the last name. But please join me in welcoming to the broadcast, Amin. How you doing, man?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Now, you're the new program director over at Thai?
I am.
And what does that responsibility entail?
That responsibility is to connect you to everyone else. So we help, you know, the whole point is to, you know, foster entrepreneurship through mentoring and networking. So that's what we do. We help connect people, help connect entrepreneurs in Atlanta. So, and if, you know, you're in the place where there's the most talent, the most innovation, and the most excitement. So that's how you spell Thai. And that's what it means to me as a program director. And that's what I want to do is bring talented folks that have, you know, the best ideas and bring in the excitement that it goes, you know, because we have, over 80 mentors that are just, you know, well-equipped, you know, eligible, just, you know, that know what they're doing and they're willing to give back and help the entrepreneurial community.
And one of the ways that you guys help the entrepreneurial community is having monthly meetings.
Correct.
And then that's open to the members and the public, right?
Correct, yeah. So it's just a meeting where folks, members, non-members can connect, and it's always around a topic. So, you know, the next monthly meeting is about building your business toolbox. So we have, you know, our sponsors at your disposal and also our entrepreneurs, our mentors that will come out and talk to you about their point of view, and then you'll get the service provider point of view as well.
And today we have some of them, correct?
Exactly. So this will be a bit of a teaser to get you excited. So,
all right. So how about introducing some of these folks? So you brought Jeetan with you, who I don't think you've been in the studio with us before, have you?
No, actually, I've never been on radio before. So watch out, guys.
It's the start of a new career for you because you have a tendency to switch jobs periodically, right, in your career?
I'm still staying with the same company I started 21 years ago. But, yes, I do have the tendency of exploring new things.
New things at all times. So why don't you talk about your business first before we get into kind of the business person's toolkit. What are you up to?
Sure. Again, my name is Jeetan Singh, and I came to Atlanta in 1990. By profession, I'm a software engineer. So that's always in my heart. So I don't know what went to my head, to be honest. And sometime September 93, I decided, man, I have worked enough for others. So out of one-bedroom apartment, I thought I'll kind of launch my own IT consulting firm. Mm-hmm. So no jokes apart, I come home and I tell my wife that I'm going to do a business.
So you had a job and you quit your job.
Thank you.
And you said, hey, dear, guess what?
that
check I was getting every week or two, that's not going to be happening for a while.
And no kidding, I got the best compliment from my wife saying, are you nuts or what? How are we going to pay? I said, look, I'm going to try, give it a shot. 6 months, 9 months, if nothing works out, remember, I'm a software engineer. I can always go back to do. But I've been very blessed. I must say, you know, in the United States, it has provided me a place, an opportunity. And when people say United States is the land of opportunity, I'm a living example. I'm sure there are many, many millions, but I can only speak for myself.
Sure.
So, yeah, 93, one-bedroom apartment, didn't know how to do business. But I decided that, hey, I'm going to give it a shot.
Right.
So I started Data Analytics Consultants with a focus on providing IT professional services to Fortune 500 or whoever wants it.
Did it start out with companies here in Atlanta? Was your first company?
No, actually, my first client was from Boston. In fact, it's been ironic. You know, you said even last 21 years, we have hardly done any business in Atlanta.
Oh, really?
We always have brought the money of other states into Georgia.
So Georgia loves you even more for that, right?
Yeah, that is true. So 21 years ago, I started and then did well in 1999. My company was ranked 81st by Inc. 500. So that was a big milestone.
Wow.
Then again, like I mentioned, you know, I'm always observing what's happening around me, and then of course the Google and Netflix, these names started kind of popping up. So I was very inspired by how Netflix got started, and then I must confess, my daughter, my elder daughter at that time, she was going to middle school. Probably she was in fourth grade or fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
She'll come home and say, "Dad, this math, can you help me?" I said, "Oh my God, am I blessed or what? My daughter is asking me to help."
Help, right.
Mm-hmm. I said, "Oh, sure, I'll do it." But then, you know, I had all education in India. So there we do lots of things mentally. So when she showed me a math question, in 5 seconds, I did process in my mind. I said, "This is the answer." She said, "What? How do you do it? How do you do it?"
Right. She didn't want the answer. She wanted to know how to do it, right?
And when I explained her how to do it, she took it to the school, and it was not matching the way teacher thought.
Oh, so they were teaching it a different way in school.
The different route, but the same answer. So my daughter thinks, "I don't know how to do."
She thinks you cheated, right?
So, and then a couple of times again, she kind of, you know, asked me. So that kind of, you know, triggered a bulb in my mind. I says, she needed help, and I could do that.
Right.
But there may be so many parents who probably don't know math.
Right.
And even if they know math, they may not be home. So again, remember, I'm a software engineer. So I says, okay, why don't I go ahead and create an online math portal where parents, students, teachers can go and interact and self-help, and it become kind of a summer business. So that was 2003, my second
career,
gig or whatever, you know. And I call it High Points Learning. So behind the scene, you know, it's a software as a service where it intelligently help teachers, schools, students, parents interact with our platform and achieve higher academic success.
How does it differ from like a Khan Academy?
Yes, Khan, it will be like that. They're another player, but ours is more driven towards the academic achievement. Mm-hmm. So it's all, did you make 92% or did you make 100% score? So we are more driven towards scoring.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process, of course, you'll be learning. So ours is not, Khan is more of a visual.
Right.
Ours is more mental and thinking. So you have to work through yourself.
And is it only math?
Right now it is only math, but it is my vision to learn science because that's my background. And
right. And there's such a need for the science, technology, engineering, and math student, right?
That is true.
All the help they can get, they need.
And I must confess, when I started, I had no clue that there is a need for math and science. And boy, I tell myself, okay, one more time, being in the right place at the right time.
Now, is that the case? Like, that's the case here in America. Is that the case in India? Or do they do a better job at teaching science and math there?
I must be politically correct here. So actually, it's very hard to compare because culturally, India, you are driven. You don't even get a first chance, forget about second chance, you know. So if you score 90%, so what? Everybody gets 95%. So it's a different thing.
Right.
So I don't know. To be politically correct, I'll say, let's leave it. India is India and U.S. is U.S.
So it sounds like you've got it pretty well figured out now. But early on in your entrepreneurial career, were there a few mistakes, maybe even major mistakes that maybe you can share with our budding entrepreneurs to keep them from falling into some of the same traps?
Okay, good question. Mistake is only afterwards you know something didn't work out. We just call it a mistake. But when you're on it, it's not a mistake. Well, there are two ways to look at it. Yes, there are days, you know, when I says, my God, why am I doing what I'm doing, you know? I shouldn't have started this. I should have remained as a consultant and kind of, you know, made good money and have a peaceful life. So I think myself, being an entrepreneur is a mistake. But that's only last momentary, you know. But all the joy and the excitement which comes, so all the moment of mistake goes away. But answering your question, I think 21 years ago, of course, you know, and being an entrepreneur is you're taking risk every minute.
Sure.
In fact, if I may say, not taking a risk is a bigger risk we're all taking every day.
Right.
So with that said, I would do a couple of things a little differently. Being an entrepreneur, the biggest I don't know, challenge or characteristic, you are so overdriven that you oftentimes miss obvious. So if there was some way, you know, you could have somebody around you who will kind of, you know, every now and then show you the, you know, hey, look side. You cannot be on going 95 miles an hour all the time. It's okay to slow down sometime.
Right.
So that's one, you know, words of wisdom I will say to somebody who is 21 years rewind. I'm only 56 years young, by the way. So that's one word of advice I'll say. And other than that, don't change yourself. Be who you are.
Be true to who you are.
Absolutely. Don't change your DNA, because if you change your DNA, then you will derail.
You have three eyes.
Now, how does Thai come into play?
Actually, it was 2001. We have an office in San Francisco, so I visited there. And it just was a coincidental that Thai San Jose was having their annual kind of in a meeting. And the guest speaker was John Chambers and Carly Fiorina. At the time, she was the CEO of Hewlett-Packard.
Sure.
And I says, my God, I'll never have a chance to see John Chambers in face-to-face. Right. So I went there. And then, of course, I saw, my God, what energy Thai has. Then I came to Atlanta. And then 2003, I kind of, you know, started tippy-toeing in Atlanta, Thai. But I didn't get involved in a very meaningful manner.
And Thai started in San Francisco, right?
San Jose, yes. That's right. San Jose is there. That's how it started. So 2006, I kind of, you know, got seriously involved in Thai Atlanta, and here we are.
Now, how has it impacted you personally, and how has it impacted your business?
I think business, it hasn't impacted directly, but I must confess, every time, you know, when I'm in the company of Thai, you know, it energizes me more, mm-hmm. and it wants me to do more, and all the... Sometimes, you know, the self-doubt and the fear creeps into you. You go to a Thai meeting and that just melts like an ice cream.
Right.
So, yeah, and also interacting with Thai, I get to meet fellow friends who were in my similar shoes. And I also get to see the young entrepreneurs who are 21 years or maybe 30 years younger than me. So all those things, I can't define, it's an energy which is priceless to me.
Now, you're a busy guy, and there's probably lots of organizations would want some of your time, but you've decided to invest a lot of your time with Thai. Is that Thai kind of part of your DNA now, that it's just part of your lifestyle, that it's something you look forward to every month?
Yeah, as you rightly say, being an entrepreneur, the good and the bad thing is you are 24 hours, 7, you're on all the time.
Right.
The only time perhaps you're off is when you're sleeping. You think you're off.
And then you're dreaming about your business. Yeah. <right? laughs>
So Thai, I think, in that, you know, we have to energize ourselves. We all need our own inspiration, energy. Where do you energy? So coming to Thai, you know, kind of, you know, gets me away from other challenges of running your business every day. So it gives me a chance to be myself and see what others are doing and laugh with them and probably cry with them. So that's kind of a part of my DNA.
But part of the culture of Thai is the giving back and helping lift others up. Have you had the opportunity to do that with some of the younger people?
Actually, I haven't been able to personally do, but I have done through, a good question you ask, you know, I have done through my second venture, that High Points Learning. Mm-hmm. So about 8 years ago, when I started, I recognized that there's a greater need for students and teachers, especially in the rural areas and inner city schools. So I'm very honored to say that my company was approved as a after-school program by 27 states. So
they're utilizing your software to teach.
Exactly. So in like last 7 years, I get letters from the parents. Their child was making F grade. Now they're making B grade in 3 months of kind of engaging with the program. It's a life-changing event.
Mm-hmm.
I must, since I have an opportunity to share this with you, I think about 4 or 5 years ago, a parent with a 8 or 12 years old girl show up in my office, and I was
just showed up.
Yes, they showed up. I says, okay. I mean, then of course Claudia in our front office. She says, Jeetan, there's somebody to see you. I says, okay. Why have I done something wrong?
Right. Why?
I always think that. You know, what have I done?
Right.
So she came and shook hand with me. She said, I brought my daughter. We are from Greenville, South Carolina. We drove here.
Wow.
Just to show you that your program has helped my daughter go from D to B. And now all her friends no longer condemn her and bully her.
Wow.
I says, you know what? When you get that kind of feedback,
that energizes you, right?
So I have my moments. One parent wrote to me from Cobb, I think Marietta. She wrote to me, first is God, next is the Chief High Point. That's the name of her program.
Right.
So like that, I got, like I said, thousands and thousands of parents all across the country. So what energizes me, what drives me? Making impact.
Right.
Touching. Doing what you do is applicable and makes the difference. So yeah, our program has helped and still helping. Right now, we are the largest service provider in the state of California.
To teach math. Wow.
Yes.
That is amazing.
I mean, you just landed this coolest job in town. You get to hang out with folks like this consistently,
you
right?
You have no clue.
Wow.
And you see that energy. I mean, you feel it. It's just because they're so passionate. You know, any and every mentor, they just... The DNA that he talked about, it's built in and it gives off when you come around someone else or you touch someone else. Even with our young entrepreneurs, you know, when they come to class on a Sunday from 12 to 4, these kids, they're showing up because they tell us, the feedback they give is that we'll never ever experience this in a classroom. The only way that we can get this close to this, this entrepreneur is through Ty. That's the only way. And they build a niche because they keep coming back. They never go away. We have alumni that, come back after 5, 6 years, 7 years, and they just give feedback. And they just like, I started here. And, I'm going to continue to give back. When I start my business, I want to come back and mentor someone back when I joined Ty. So that's just the energy. It's not going to go away. Yeah.
So your backstory, tell us a little bit about your illustrious career.
So I've been with Ty for probably about 3 years, and I was on the operations standpoint. So I worked for Association Planners of Georgia, and we did all the logistical, setting up the board meeting, setting up the events, all the email blasts. And then after graduating, I sat down with Ashish. He's a mentor. He doesn't even know it. So we talked, and we found that Ty would be the right fit, to help me grow. Because again, I don't want to leave this place. I was touched. I can't leave now. So,
Matthew Freeman, I'm going to ask you to let Ashish Thakur borrow your microphone for a moment. I want him to weigh in, and we're going to come back. And we're going to visit with the Warren Averett folks here in a minute as well. But Ashish, now you've been a part of this thing for quite some time. Just speak to that general experience a little bit, if you will, and what it's like to bring somebody like Amin further and further into the fold.
The people sitting around this room are a testament to the organization, its sustainability, its stature, its reputation. And it's interesting. I've been on the sponsor side when I was in banking in 2006. Then I was a volunteer, then mentoring. And then the board had asked me, do you want to kind of work part-time and help fundraise? So 3 years and almost $2 million later, we've built this organization with full-time staff, support from our sponsors, support from our mentors. And we went from, there's 60 chapters in the ecosystem, and we went from number 40 to number 4. So number 1 is Silicon Valley, number 2 is New Delhi, 3 Boston, and 4 Atlanta. But it all starts with the people, and it ends with the people.
Well, you guys are doing a fantastic job, and I do want to talk with you got to characterize them as premier sponsors. They're family members. I mean, they're just so much a part of the fabric of Ty. So I mean, I'll give you the honor to introduce the gentleman here from Warren Averett.
Let's welcome, round of applause, or let's stand up if we can, and give a warm and hearty welcome to Mr. Dick Ingerson on my right, and Matthew Freeman on my left.
Thank you.
Nicely done, man. All right, Dick, I want to start with you. You got a lot on your plate. You got a lot going on. You got a successful business. And then every time I'm anywhere near any type of Thai activity, there's like this team from Warren Averett there to support. What are you guys, why are you so involved with this crowd?
Stone, I think that we're so involved because we feel that energy also. And we wanted to, when we had an opportunity to to deal with entrepreneurs at any time, we want to do that. We're service providers, but we're entrepreneurs in our own right. Each one of our partners is an owner of the business and is an entrepreneur. I personally was with one of the big international accounting firms when I started my career, and then founded a firm with a couple other guys. That was Gifford Hillegas and Ingwersen. And then a couple years ago, some of our friends around the Southeast that we were in alliances with, and Warren Averett was one of those, and we joined up with them. And so we're a large Southeastern firm. And one of the things that I have to do is Gifford Hillegas Ingwersen was 33 years here in Atlanta and pretty well known, and Warren Averett was very big. We're the largest firm in Alabama, and we're in now we're in Georgia, Florida, and Alabama, but still, you know, we're young here, so people don't necessarily know the name Warren Averett. So I have to spend a lot of time getting that out there and making the connection between the two. But we are the fourth largest Southeastern based firm. We are the 28th largest firm in the country. So we did that so that we could not only increase our geographic footprint, but also just the opportunities and the services that we can provide have just greatly expanded.
So now, are you offering more services?
Yes, we are. I mean, a perfect example of this is that I typically, other people in my office have dealt in the nonprofit area as well as the profit area, but not ever in higher education. And yesterday I was at Auburn as part of a proposal, because now we do four or five colleges around. So we were doing that. I couldn't have done that 2 years ago. That's just an example. So I said, and when we did it, I said, this puts me 20 years ahead of where I could have been in us just trying to do it ourselves.
Sure.
I mean, we could have eventually expanded that, but now we've jumped 20 years in terms of what our capabilities are. So that's an important and a thrilling thing for us to be able to do even more. And so I have more expertise that I never had before.
Now, if you were giving advice to an entrepreneur, how would you advise them in choosing a professional service firm?
Well, I think it has to be a fit for them. And, you know, and it depends on what stage of their career that they're in also. And I think what happens for us a lot of times is that we may not, because we're an established firm with that, and so we may not get a startup, you know, business with that. They may go to somebody that's a lot smaller than that. But then what's going to happen is that as they go and Jitan would, you know, maybe tell me how he progressed in terms of doing that. But they're going to outgrow, because typically they'll start with maybe a very small firm that has limited capabilities,
right?
And they'll outgrow that firm. But they've probably developed a relationship with somebody they've been working with, like we do with all of our, you know, our dentist, our doctor, the whole thing. And so there's always a reluctance to break away. But at some point they're getting hurt by not doing that. And they have to understand. So we get a lot of people that way that have sort of outgrown the firm that they have. We get a lot of business the other way, in that we predominantly deal in the private sector, the private business. And I like working with the actual entrepreneurs. The public business is dominated by the what they call the big four international firms. I mean, they do 99.5% of all the market cap that's out there. And so what happens, though, private business, because they're concentrating so much on the big public companies, as they should, then the private companies really aren't getting their best people and their attention like they should. So we'll get a lot of people coming the other way, too, just saying, you know, I'm sort of a second-class citizen here, and I'm just not getting the kind of service, and I'm paying really big fees, and I... You know, what's a good alternative? And I'll say, well, we're a great alternative for you. So we've got them. We're sort of in the middle. We're getting them from both sides, coming down from not being served and paying big fees, or coming up and not being served with that. That's kind of our niche.
Now, Jeetham, when you're working with a professional service firm, what are you looking for in that partnership? Because you can choose anybody, right? And it's not just for the fact that they can do the job, because that's table stakes, right? They should all be able to do the actual job you're hiring for, but you want a partner in this as a trust advisor, I would imagine.
Yeah, good question. Actually, it is very, very important, like you said earlier, to work with people who are compatible with you. I mean, somebody can write the best advice, but is it compatible?
Right.
And the firm and the people who you work with, they understand who you are and what you really do. And when that happens, then our interests are matched, our interests are aligned, And in fact, I've been very blessed. You know, when I started my first business, I mean, 93, I started my business. I used a CPA firm, and that person had just started. He just kind of working with KPMG and broke away and started his own. And guess what? Till today, that is a CPA firm. He grew with us. We grew with them.
Right. But was it a two-way street, where is he helping you in your business and you were helping him in his business?
Well, I was helping him, giving recommendation, reference, and right. he was always making sure that I'm always on the right side of the law and compatibility, and yet giving the best advice, which will help continue to grow our business. So now, like 21 years, I don't even think they're a CPA firm. They are my friend.
Right.
So that kind of a leverage. So once you have that kind of relationship, you know, it's very wonderful. Likewise, you know, banking, you know, last 5 years ago, after the financial crisis, you know, we bumped into a very good person who kind of, you know, spotted us from Regions Bank. Mm-hmm. And today, my God, if there's only one bank in the world, go to Regions Bank. I'm not trying to market them, and I'm not trying to say that is how much time they have taken to understand who we are. Mm-hmm. And they have helped us come this far. So,
and that's with all professionals, or I would imagine lawyers and your bank, like you said, accounts, insurance, all of that is the same. You want that level of relationship.
You tell me about insurance company. You know, there was a gentleman, his name is Ad Gilman, 95. I don't know how he found me. Till today, he's the only insurance company I deal with. So I'm comfortable.
Right.
And they are. And since I'm comfortable, I have entrusted them so much responsibility on them. They go and make sure that I'm covered all the time.
Right. They're watching your back. They're trying to protect you and help you grow your business because it's in their best interest.
Absolutely. So I think in a very short, if I say, while any entrepreneur or anybody, when you're looking for outside, look for the compatibility.
Right. And it goes back to your earlier point of being true to yourself and finding someone that meshes with you philosophically and business-wise.
Yes. And they should not be only looking at you, okay, how much fee I can make from this person.
Right. You don't want it to be a transaction. You want it to be a relationship.
Absolutely.
So I'll tell you what this underscores for me, and I guess I already knew it intellectually, but in all of these disciplines, attorney, CPA, advisor, you have to be good at your craft, but you also have to be well marketed. I got a question for Matthew. So you're part of this firm, you're CPA. Did you anticipate, as you were getting your formal education, that you were also going to have to market your services, or is that something that occurred to you once you got out in the jungle?
Well, yeah, you think, I mean, if you've got an entrepreneurial spirit within, then you will recognize that early on. Even before I was, you know, in the CPA career, you know, I was looking to make money in high school, and I did well in math, so I could tutor. Mm-hmm. So I was looking for people that I could tutor. I did well in tennis and realized I could teach people tennis and make money that way. I could string tennis racks. So I was always looking for ways to make money and get clients effectively, right? And so if you have that spirit, then you take that to whatever profession you're in, and then in the CPA world, you know, I realized that, of course, you know, I started out with one of the big firms, and, you know, you're just working on the clients that are there, and you're thinking, how would I ever land a client, you know, like a Coca-Cola or something, right? So, you know, the distance from where you are as a new staff to even contemplating being able to land business like that is quite a leap. So then you think more real world, you know, I know a lot of people that are in businesses that are probably more approachable. If I was in a place that served them, I'd actually have an opportunity. And so I don't know. Does that answer?
Well, it does, but I think it also begins to get to kind of my follow-up question, because I wanted to ask about your perspective, your experience, what you feel like you're getting personally and professionally from your time, energy, talent invested with Ty. Because just like I see Dick every time I'm anywhere near Ty, I see you all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, for me, the most exciting thing is meeting people like Jeetan. I mean, it's just the stories that you hear and how they've created the businesses and taken the great leap and just building tremendous, you know, the innovation. I'm always energized by innovation, and that's what drives growth and improvement. And it's just so exciting. So, I mean, for me, you know, we get back and we have lots of compliance and lots of deadlines and, you know, work to be done. And to get away from that and just be around people that are driving the innovation in the community, so refreshing. It just gets you really, it's almost like going out and having that workout that you need to, okay, I got to go, I got to get some exercise, get my blood flowing, get my mind cleared, and I'm going to go back and be more productive. It's sort of the same thing, really, when you go there, just that boost of energy, you know, you get back and run with that for a while.
Now, as Amin was saying earlier, you get energized and you learn so much at a Thai meeting and when you're interacting with the entrepreneurs that are part of Thai. How do you steward that kind of thought leadership back to your clients? How do you take all those learnings and kind of share it with your clients?
Well, I mean, in one way, of course, is you know, really what we are in a lot of ways is we've got to be resourceful. We, you know, at the end of the day, they're looking to us for ideas and direction. So the more people that we know, the more that we see, you know, the more we're apt to be able to be a resource, whether it's anything that we're doing directly or if we can just refer them out to the people that we know in the community. So we're really meeting more people and finding out who's really got the talent. We got more tools in our toolkit, really.
Now, when you were in school, how much time did they spend on the actual task of doing accounting work, and how much time did they spend on the selling accounting work?
100% on the task of learning to be an accountant, and 0% on actual anything, really, and not just selling, but I mean practice management in any sense. You know, I should probably, that's probably exaggerating. I mean, you take marketing, you take economics, you take management, right? So you are definitely, you know, academically being exposed to all those theories. But as far as a professor's actually talking about, you know, hey, this is how I grew my business, or this is how I got clients, or, you know, this is what good service means. This is what, you know, what people are looking for when they come to you. Yeah, no, you're not.
So where'd you learn that?
Okay, liberal arts, right? To the extent you have a liberal education, and you've got psychology, sociology. I mean, you're getting all the tools, but it's all sort of, I don't know, it's life skills, right?
Learn it by osmosis?
Yeah, you just open your eyes and your ears and you listen and you watch, right? This is at the end of the day what you do.
Well, Dick, is this part of the culture of Warren Everett that you want to be teaching that and mentoring and kind of getting the junior people up to speed in this area? Because if it isn't being taught in school, they got to learn it somewhere. And as kind of in charge of your organization like you are, somebody's got to teach them.
No, for sure. And when we bring them in, we do start them out concentrating on their skills, getting them up to where they need to be from a professional, you know, standpoint, just in knowing the subject matter and stuff. And then later on, when they've got a little bit of experience and they're comfortable with giving good advice and doing that kind of stuff, then we start helping them with concentrating on their sell and what they need to do. A funny thing happened. I was at Auburn yesterday, and I'm an Auburn grad, so I spend some time over there recruiting and stuff. And a couple weeks ago, I was over there making a presentation to a Beta Alpha Psi, which is an honorary society, and the very top students in accounting get into that. And with that, and when I was doing it, I said, how many classes do you have in sales and stuff? Because they were talking about being a partner, what it did. And I said, you know, you really need to drive some business. You can't just be a good accountant or you won't have anything to do unless there's somebody feeding you the business.
Right.
And you need to go out there and develop the business. I said, and they weren't completely sure, but one of the coordinators and stuff like that said, you know, we have a 1-hour course now. I mean, nothing.
Wow.
I mean,
whole hour?
Nothing that they had before. I think it's 1 hour a week. I mean, you know, when it's a 1 hour, but it's on a weekly basis. They give them credit for it, and they're trying to teach them some other skills just outside of the actual curriculum itself. So, you know, it's important in the long range. We're in public accounting, so it's, you know, if I'm in private accounting, then there's no deal. My client is who's giving me the paycheck. In public accounting, we have to be out there and mixing and keeping things going. And just like Matthew said earlier, we love doing that. We love hearing the stories. We sponsor a lot of programs for top entrepreneurs with that. Mm-hmm. So and we get to. And we've done some with Business Atlanta that would do that, the magazine. And we go out and we interview the people and we get their story.
you know, and that's just fun for us. Just like you said, it's energizing. Just like Matthew said, that's the business that we're in. And we, and to get back to GTAN, develop, I do a lot of work for family businesses, which happens a lot in the private sector. And so, I mean, you become part of the family. I mean, I go to weddings and graduations of grandchildren now, you know, with that part. So it's exactly like he said. And as long as that, as long as we're growing with our clients, then it's a good fit. Sometimes it doesn't work like that, and they outgrow the things. But GTANs was a perfect example of, I said, typically they're not going to come to an established firm when they first start out just because of that. So he finds somebody that's starting up their firm, which is what we did when we were starting up our firm, and then he goes. And as long as that firm grows with him and he continues to grow to be a good client and have that mutual understanding, then it's a great relationship. And I could hear his story, and I know I have all those with mine. I mean, you know that when your clients call you and ask if they can pay themselves a bonus, you know they're counting on you. You know, I say, well, it's your company, man. Let's look at the finances. Let's see what we need to do here, you know. But I'll let you know whether you can pay yourself a bonus or not.
And you want that open relationship. And you know, the clients that say, you know, I won't do a transaction without calling you first. Boy, I tell you, the ones that don't operate that way, and then, you know, you find out after the fact how many times we've looked at something they've done and just said, ah, I wish you had called me. This is going to be so, even if we can undo it or perfume it one way or the other, it's going to take so much more time, effort, and cost now to do that than if we'd have just been there in the front end, you know?
Right.
I mean, you know, that half an hour, 1 hour phone call at the front end to talk about that would have saved everybody so much time and effort later on. You know, so the penny wise, pound foolish. We see that many, many, many times.
All right. So don't we have this time meeting coming up. Is it next week?
Yep. Next week, March 11th.
All right. So talk about that a little bit. What can we expect?
So,
I mean, I know Lee Cantor will be there, so that's probably enough draw, but there may be some things happening there, right?
So the way that we have said, we're going to, you know, we're bringing back our roundtable session, which everyone loves. It's going to be, we're going to have 9 roundtables, and it's going to be entrepreneurs and service providers. So just like how the setup was here, you know, we're going to have the entrepreneur will give his side of it and the service provider will give their side of it. So, and then again, vibe off each other. And then, you know, this is for entrepreneurs by entrepreneurs. You know, If you want to learn how to box, you're not going to learn from a guy in a Speedo. You want to learn from Muhammad Ali, right? That's who you want to learn from. So if you want to learn how to become an entrepreneur, if you want to, you know, collaborate, get ideas, you know, get excitement, you need to learn from entrepreneurs, not the guy in the Speedo. So
this will give them the opportunity to sit around in a small group setting,
yeah,
and
more
then
intimate.
Ask questions that are pertinent to them and get the answers right from the horse's mouth.
Exactly.
Well, I have an endorsement testimonial for that because I love that format. And I can remember sitting in a roundtable format with the gentleman who was the illuminary, the smart guy at the table, was Jeremy Wing. Is it Payscape that he's?
Yeah.
I hope I don't get the company name wrong. But man, I mean, the guy just, he was, there were a couple of things. First of all, just really smart, but also so very generous with his expertise. And then we even went on, you know, a week or two down the road and had a site visit, and just so giving and sharing of his experience, good, bad, and ugly. But yeah, for whatever my endorsement is worth,
and I'll second that as far as the generosity. And I was scheduled to and was the, you know, the service provider host at one of the tables a couple of times back, and I was nervous trying to think, you know, what am I going to say? I didn't actually have to say anything because the entrepreneur, you know, was so forthcoming with information that, I mean, really took care of that. And then the Q&A, and I mean, I didn't even have an opportunity, which was fine, really, to put have much input. I mean, I was so impressed with how, like you say, how much information they just gave of themselves. And I love the format too, because you've heard of like speed dating. This is, I'd call it speed tabling. Mm-hmm. Because you're going from table, you know, the folks that are there get to go from table to table. So they get exposed to all the different, you know, ideas and little subsets of topics from table to table.
And what are the group, do you have the agenda of what are the groups going to be talking about in each table?
Being finalized. Yes.
All right, but we can go to the website at some point and find
that
out.
Yep.
So you can just show up and find out, right, Jaden? Right? Since you're a man of action, right? Just show up and then you'll know.
Absolutely.
All right, before we wrap, I'd like to know, Dick, anything going on in your firm upcoming? Anything that you guys got going on?
Well,
just taxes coming up?
Well, it's taxes, it's audits, it's everything. Everything is so calendar a year based, you know, most companies, that everybody has to. So it's, you know, it's a tough first quarter to get through to do everything with that. So there's a tremendous amount that's going on, and there's new things, and
yeah, you got a Supreme Court ruling, right?
That there's new things every time, and I mean there's a lot of the Affordable Care Act that's kicking in. It's going to affect everybody. Nobody's had that before. Not to be too esoteric, there's tangible regulations on property that are out there. Everybody was having to do stuff. They finally got a relief on that with it, but it was like everybody was going to have to file changes of accounting methods, and most people didn't know anything about it. There are some things that there's gotchas out there, and it's kind of like Matthew was saying, you got to have somebody that understands what's going on. There is a on how you reimburse, and it is very common in small business to reimburse people some medical expenses. If you don't have like a group plan, you'll do that. There was a $100 a day per employee, $36,500 per employee penalty out there if in fact you reimburse them under the Obamacare. That nobody understood, and I had gone to all mine. I'm saying, here's what we have to do. We have to do that stuff. And then last week, thank goodness, I mean, the service finally realized that nobody knew what was going on that, and so they waived it for another, you know, through the middle of this year with that. But those are the kind of things, the gotchas that are out there that people don't understand. And like you said, with the Supreme Court, and particularly with the Affordable Care Act, it's like nobody knows for sure exactly what's going on. And hopefully there'll be a lot of waivers and a lot of changes and a lot of explanations. But so there is a ton going on in
and that's why you
to
need to have a professional who's looking at this all the time, because you're busy running your business. So
I couldn't imagine. And one thing that, and everybody complains about, and it's true, the system is so complicated that I can't imagine somebody being, I mean, if you got a W-2 and that's it, then you're good, you know. But if you if you've got investments and you've got partnership interest and all the different things, then you need some help. And that's kind of sad, really, on a self-assessment system, that you do need that. But no matter what they say, and I've been in this business for a long time, and I've heard since the beginning they're going to have tax reform and simplification, and it doesn't have. There's acts that are called the Simplification Act that are more complicated than they have that. I mean, it is amazing out there.
Now, a website for you guys, what's the best way if somebody wants to learn more about you or organization?
It's warrenaverett.com. It's warrenaverett.com. And so you can find us there.
All right.
You can find us anywhere in the Southeast.
Or
now.
At a time meeting. Yeah. That's
including
the best way.
Pensacola, Florida. I think we should get a delegation together, Dick, you and I, and some of our best friends, and make a trip to Pensacola.
Yes. You must like Pensacola even more than Caymans.
Stone and I, we have a Cayman office too, you know, but Pensacola is a good thing, and Stone and I are both from the Gulf Coast down there, so we're familiar with it.
Now,
next time when you have your radio show, let's hide over there, and please do invite me.
Okay, absolutely. Now, what about you? What do you have going on? You have a new venture out here.
You know, like, I think, you know, being an entrepreneur, you have to be restless all the time.
Right.
If you're not, then I guess you're not there. And you always have to be observant. And that's why, I guess, you know, among various characteristics of an entrepreneur, these two I could immediately pick. So with that said, I'm only 56 years young and restless. So with that said, like I mentioned earlier, my daughter came a few years ago and asked, and that kind of triggered the bulb. Then my children have been going through the colleges, and I know, unlike India, where a lot of colleges are kind of just the system is like that you paid for.
Right.
So here, of course, parents have to scramble and students have to do things. So that kind of raised a bulb came to mind, okay? So I came up with this idea, and because I've been observing children, they spend umpteen number of time on their little iPhone or smartphone or whatever device they have.
Right.
Chatting, Facebooking, and all that. So I thought, okay, and also, whenever I go for shopping, whether a Kroger or a Walgreens, you know, I'm always asked, oh, do you have a Walgreens card or something,
a
reward card, loyalty card? I said, okay. And of course, you know, I'm the Delta.
You don't have it, right?
I'm a diehard member of Delta Sky Files. Not because I love Delta too much. I mean, I like Delta, nothing wrong with them. I just have a Sky Mail program with them. So I'm always traveled with them. So if you see, there's an underlying inherent characteristic to bring people together.
Right. People want to be part of something,
yes,
right?
Yes, do something together. So again, you know, I think, again, bulb, you know, sometime 2012, a bulb again went into my head. I said, you know what? Why don't I go ahead and create a portal, again, go back to the portal again,
right,
where the children, as they are doing their homework or they are doing their schoolwork, the more they do, the more they get reward points.
Uh-huh.
And every now and then, they reach a certain threshold, they can redeem their reward points for iTunes or Starbucks or Walmart or Target or whatever. And in the process, in the inconsequence, you know, unintended consequences, they will be learning.
Right.
So it becomes a learn and earn model. Right. So I'm working on that right now, and the name of the portal is, right now we're in a beta stage. As a matter of fact, day after tomorrow, I'm heading out to my India office, where a lot of work is being happening from there. And the name of the portal is uscore.net.
Uscore.net?
Yeah, Y-O-U and score. So every time you do a math or anything on our platform, you score a point. So all those points are accumulated. Teachers can use it as a classroom. Parents can sign up. Like I said, the unintended consequences, whoever uses this, their math grade will improve.
Right.
And they will get a reward at the same time.
So can you roll that out today, please, so that my son will start playing, instead of playing Madden all the time, he'll do your site. And,
are you looking for kids to be on it, to be beta testers?
Yes, we are. As a matter of fact, you know, I will get in touch with you. From April to June, we are doing a regression testing, and our project plan is to roll out in a kind of in a
So what
soft
age
launch.
Kids do you need?
Grade 2 to 12. Uh-huh. Yeah, we are pretty much, you know, by the time you're 12th grade, you're much of the learning or whatever has happened, you know.
Right.
So my vision is that, you know, also, like earlier you asked me a question about the education in India and the United States, remember? It's also my, in the platform, students will be able to collaborate.
And work together to teach them.
Exactly. Right. At your own time, just like, you know, Facebook, you have buddies.
Right.
You know, you can select your buddy, you can unselect your buddy, so they can help out each other.
And it doesn't matter the age, because somebody could be good in ninth grade, could be teaching somebody in eighth grade, or the eighth grader could be better than the ninth grader, right?
Exactly. And also, one of the characteristics of YouTube, you know, everybody put it on YouTube, I realized that, you know, there are thousands of teachers all over the world.
Right.
And most teachers, while they're teaching in the classroom, they develop their material, which they use year after year.
That's their own material, right?
That's their own material. So now I'm encouraging them, hey, come to Uscore, publish your material.
Right.
And when your material is used by other global user, wherever they are, you get points. So that points can be again. So I think in a very, that's kind of fair.
It's very
course,
collaborative.
It's a very great, and I'm very sure as it goes, 5 years from now, hopefully you'll have a chance to come back here again and report to you how much has it gone and how it has evolved. So that's my next venture. And if you see, the characteristic is leveraging on the social media and the connectivity and bringing a kind of, you know, a group in a mini size in a way. And I'm, like I said, as an entrepreneur, you have to believe in what you're doing.
Right.
And I absolutely believe that it is going to work the way I think. And maybe more.
And it's interesting to see how you're, over the course of your career, it's just evolved. It started in one thing, and everything has evolved kind of organically based on that initial premise of you being a good software engineer, right?
Yes, well said. You know, so behind the scene, the software engineering is always there.
At the heart of it, right?
At the heart of it, yes.
So now it's uscore.net. And you're looking for kids, you know, high school and younger, to be part of this, to kind of test it out.
Yes.
And then it's High Point e-learning program?
Achieve High Points.
Achieve High Points, and that's achievehighpoints.com.
Yeah, you can go to achievehighpoints.com, and that program is already in deployment in more than 27 states as after-school program.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show.
Oh, thank you for allowing me to share this with you all.
All right, Amin, if somebody wanted to go to this meeting next week, website for Ty?
Atlanta.ty.org, and that's where you'll find all the information and the registration. And also, we'll take up walk-ups at the door as well. So, and that's going to be at Sheraton Perimeter North on Hammond Drive, and networking starts at 5:30.
Good stuff. Well, thank you, Amin. We look forward to seeing you more here. Bring in more Thai people.
It was fun.
All right. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.